I'm really excited about what God told me to do. Every once in a while I get a chance to preach to my staff, JDM staff, which includes the church staff, and things here at the office. Kathy will set those things up. I don't know if it's once a month or something like that. And I mentioned something to my staff about a month ago, and they said, boss, you need to, they all call me boss. They said, you need to minister that to the church. So we decided, I prayed about it, and the Lord said, you can go ahead and do that. So if you've got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Woo! Proverbs, chapter 14, glory to God. One thing I've learned is, especially, it's not an American idea, it's a God idea, but America adopted it as a country. We're the richest country that's ever been on the planet Earth. That's including the Roman Empire. Did you know that? The richest nation the world has ever known. And I've often wondered, and I don't mean this in a derogatory sense, so please don't take it as such. But I've always wondered why North America is so rich and South America was so poor. Of course, now they're learning some different things and things. I never could understand that. I thought, why? It's called the Americas. You know, if you've been in school, you remember the Americas. Why is North America so rich and yet South America was so poor? And many of some South American countries are just really struggling. Some are doing well, but most of them are struggling. Then I realized at the beginning of South America, they came looking for gold. They came looking for raw substance and sources and things of that nature, looking for gold and whatever. But at the beginning of North America, they came looking for God. Think about that for a minute. They came so they could establish freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. Now, this is not a political statement. It's just simply the truth. Freedom of religion, not freedom from religion, which means that, and I personally believe freedom from religion should be, religion could be any way it chooses to be. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Do you believe in separation of church and state? Yes, I do. Simply because, not that it's in the Constitution, because it's not, but it's in one of the letters that Thomas Jefferson wrote. Yet Thomas and Jefferson allowed prayer meetings in the Capitol and things of that nature. I'm not trying to be political. I'm just saying, so I believe we should have freedom of religion instead of freedom from religion. I begin to realize if you put God first, God will bless you as a nation, as a person, as a company, or whatever you may desire to do in life. If you place him first, that's spiritually, physically, and financially. Now, you know, if you just give to God and don't live for God, even though God will bless your seed because that's the laws of sowing and reaping, but you're not really truly being blessed the way God wants you to be blessed. Now, the Bible said the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Notice that word. It maketh rich. Everybody say rich.
Rich.
Now, that's a word that everybody wants except if you're a preacher or if you're in the church. The church can have wealth. But you can't as a person, which is totally wrong. You see, because the church is you. Amen. The church is not this building. This building don't even have a voice. You see what I'm saying? But it has life only when you come in it. You see what I'm saying? It says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with me. Now, you see, there's some people, Christian people, had to make a decision on that verse. They made a decision they should have never made. See, they wanted to live in the blessing, but they did not want to be rich. So they adopted the laws of poverty, which nobody likes. People hate poverty. Let me show you what poverty is. You go to the Philippines right now, that's poverty. Because there's been such mass destruction. See, when you lose everything, when Hurricane Katrina came here. And by the way, every dollar that was given to this ministry for Hurricane Katrina, we gave it to the people. Would you like to know how much we gave to the people? $3 million. Now wait, you need to applaud for yourself and all those who sent money to this ministry because they trusted us enough to give it away. You know how much money was raised for Katrina that the people did not get? Yeah. Well, actually, there's $1 billion. They don't know where it's at. But not in this ministry. You see what I'm saying? Not bragging on that, just simply the truth. So the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Now, there's some people that have gotten rich, but they don't have the blessing. See, so if they don't have the blessing, then they have sorrow with it. There have been people that have been very wealthy that committed suicide. How could you be, if money would make you happy, that would have never happened, right? See, what I'm saying is you don't have to make a choice. In other words, you get the blessing and the rich. The blessing of the Lord, it make it rich, and he added no sorrow. With the church world, they adopted the blessing. They wanted to be blessed, but not rich, because they thought that would be wrong. So consequently, the church is financially, I'm talking about the church people, have hurt financially most of their lives. Then you got the people that's the rich, rich people, but they have no blessing in their life. They got sorrow and everything you can think of. Their lives, their families are destroyed. Yet they may have money. But see, what happens is when the scripture was wrote, you didn't have to make a choice. You can receive the blessing and the rich. That's what I have done. I have received the blessing and the rich together, and I have no sorrow in my life. I'm able to be the blessing that I want to be spiritually, physically, financially at any given time. I also adopted that for this ministry. That's why this church was able to do what it just did. Do you see that? By us giving everything away this Sunday morning to our pastors, we still going to be able to pay the light bill. Ain't that wonderful? We'll still be able to pay the insurances on the buildings and the staff and all that kind of stuff. Because I refuse to make a decision. I said, if I can have both, why don't I? Would you think, if you went to Gambino's, which is a great place of great desserts there in Metairie. I like Gambino's. I give them a plug. And you bought a pie and you open it up, two slices were gone. Would you bring it back? Yes, you'd bring it back. Somebody done eat some of your pie. Right? Right? Now, if you open it up and there's nothing been touched, you'd say, okay, I have me a pie. See, that's what I'm saying, see. See, you don't have to make a decision. Go, oh, I'm just so glad I got 3/4 of a pie. When you can have the whole pie, because you paid for the whole pie. Now, I'm saying this because I want to get to this sermon today. This is kind of like the preamble. I didn't say this to the staff. I'm just saying it a little different in the church so they can have some different things to hear. This is the preamble to this. What made me understand that was the word knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. See, you can have, if you have knowledge and no wisdom, you can be a PhD. You can have 47 degrees that can't even support yourself. There's some people still going to college since they went to college at 18 years old, got out of high school, straight to college, and they're still in college, going to school, and they're 40 something years old. They got enough degrees to wallpaper their wall, but they can't make a living. Then you got some people when you go down to Chauvin and Montague and the Isle of Little Jean Charles and Grand Cayou and Little Cayou and Golden Meadow and Leeville. There's some people say they talk funny. Yeah, but they know how to count that money. He might have a guy that when he first started the business, he couldn't read, write his name in boxcar letters, but he owned 125 tugboats. See my point? You understand what I'm saying? He decided not to think he was stupid. So I want to deal with knowledge today. The title of this message is Knowledge, the Ingredients of Thinking Big. Knowledge, the ingredient to think big. How many of y'all want to think big? That's not an American idea. That's a God idea. God is big. People like big. When that man walked by me that was 6'8", that's big to me. I like that. He said, well, you can't grow no more. Who say you? What make you think I can't grow no more? I can keep believing God. I grew, after I married Kathy, I grew. When I married Kathy, I had one hair on my chest. Now I got a meadow. And it's changing color like the fall leaves. It's getting white. Can you believe it? Good God. Don't laugh at me, Kenny. Yours is white too. Kenny may be a black man, but you cut the lights, I take your shirt off, you can follow him out the building. He got cotton on his chest. Glory to God. Hey, he's a man. You understand? He's a man. You understand? So we can still believe. Proverbs chapter 14. I want to read verse 6. It says, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth not. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Knowledge is easy to him that understandeth. Or in other words, you need to understand everything you're doing. Not just shooting dice in the dark here. See, knowledge, if you got knowledge and you do, is easy to unto him that understandeth. So I want you to write this down. The depth of your knowledge depends upon the intensity of your desire. Write that down. The depth of your knowledge depends upon the intensity of your desire. Is your desire intense? Because that depends upon the knowledge of what you want done. There's some people, I got to go to a football game. I hadn't been to a high school football game. Good God, I don't know how long, but I went to a football game this past Friday, and watched the team play. And I enjoyed myself so much. It was just such a blessing. I even ate a hamburger and french fries and some jambalaya. So you got to have a little jambalaya in South Louisiana. You know what I'm saying? And I was watching these kids and I thought, that used to be me. I was on the football team. I didn't play, but I was on the football team because I was too little. This idiot, they let me on the team so they could hold the dummies for the big guys to hit. I had to hold them dummies. It didn't knock me down, Lord, but at least I was on the team. Now, the cheerleaders never knew that I didn't play because when I'd sit on the bench, I'd reach down and grab me some mud. And as I came up with the mud, I would rub it on my jersey. Then I would take the water and squeeze it all over like I've been sweating. And I would run through the chilies and they go, where to play? Where to play? And I thought, yeah, baby. What's up, baby? See, that was knowledge. Might have been a little deception in it, but it was knowledge. Because the girls always seem to like their players. You know what I'm saying? That kind of stuff. So knowledge, the depth of your knowledge depends upon the intensity of your desire. See, if your desire is intense, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. You can't just say, I hope that's going to work. No. You got to have some intensity. The reason why I married Kathy, because her desire was so intense for me. As she was intense. I want you, man. I said, enjoy yourself. She said, he's a legend in his own mind. Glory to God. Hey, I'm the one preaching this morning. I'm going to preach it my way. Praise God. So the intensity of your knowledge depends upon the intensity of your desire. I keep saying that. Do you understand? Your desire's got to get up. You don't have to make a choice on it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Take both of them. God said, by his stripes you were healed. Don't get one healing. Get it all. Walk in health. Then get real intense and walk in life, divine healing, divine health, and then divine life. Get that intensity so strong inside of you and your knowledge will increase and you become what we call big in life. Write this down. Knowledge is the energy that makes life good. Knowledge is the energy that makes life good. See, if you have knowledge, it makes life good. You see what I'm saying? Why? Because you know what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. It's all done by knowledge in every area. It makes life good. It's the good life. Why? Because of knowledge. That's why I believe in education. I believe that people need to go to school. Learn as much as you can. There's some things I've learned in school, and I'm right now at the time of this preaching, I'm 64 years old, that I have not yet used in my life. There's some things in school that I have learned that I have not yet used, and I'm 64, but I ain't dead. It's going to come up somewhere, and because I've been taught that, I will know how to adapt or embrace whatever comes my way. You follow what I'm saying? That's why God gives us teachers to teach. So knowledge is the energy that makes life good. Write this down. Knowledge depends upon contact and relationship. Knowledge depends upon contact and relationship. See, let me tell you something. I've had some people say, I know Jesse the Plan. No, you don't know me. You know about me. Now, Kenny Day knows me. Nicole Day knows me. Not because they work for me. We went out and eat dinner together. We've talked. We've been on a cruise together. You know what? Because that's contact and relationship. You follow what I'm saying? So knowledge, when you understand that knowledge is flowing that way, depends upon contact and relationship. See, you begin to find out what I like and what I don't like. I begin to find out what you like and what you don't like. It's the same way. What's the same way with the Lord Jesus Christ? I knew to understand him and to walk in his light, I had to have contact and relationship. See, I needed more than relationship. I needed fellowship. I wanted this. Hello, Jesus. Hi, Jesse. I wanted to be able to talk to God and God talk to me. Now, when I was growing up in church, they wouldn't let me talk to God. You talk to the priest. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Hold your hand. You know what I'm saying? I'm not being critical of that. Just the way it was. You don't talk to God. Finally, I even wrote a book years ago, and I love this book, Wanting a God I Could Talk To. Because every time I wanted to talk to God, the priest said, you don't talk to God, you talk to me. I said, well, is God talking to you? He said, well, no, he ain't said nothing to me. I said, what do I want to talk to you for? See, I'm trying to get to the head person. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to get that. Why? To attain what? Knowledge. So I can think big. Not to be better than you or better than anybody, but to better myself. See, but I have to have that intensity of desire. I have that energy to make that life good. And then that depends all upon my contact and relationship with God so that I would know what God would do before he did. How many times I've asked God for something and I already knew what he was going to say? How did I know that? Contact, relationship. See, that's the ingredient to think big when you understand that. Write this down. Knowledge helps you to accept your responsibility to the opportunity that God has given you to do. See, when you have knowledge, then you understand your opportunity. Let me say it again. Knowledge helps you to accept your responsibility to the opportunity God has given you to do. You got to understand the blessing gives you, opens up the door for you to receive what you need. And then the favor helps you accept that responsibility. See, the blessing gives you responsibility. Favor gives you opportunity, if you want to say it as such. You see, but you got to understand that these all work together. So the blessing gives you what now? More than just opportunity. It gives you that ability to do, but then the favor gives you the opportunity. You see, and if you don't take that, well, then it's not God's fault that you didn't accomplish what God wants done. Let me say it again. Knowledge helps you to accept your responsibility to the opportunity God has given you to do. So the blessing gives you the ability to get what you want, and the favor gives you the opportunity to flow through what you want. When God told me to build this building, I never built a building in my life. Never. Never. I never built a house in my life. I did. Wait, I take that back. I didn't build that house neither. Come to think about it. Make a long story short, I had never built on this scale. I believe Richie's here today. When he built my house, he had never built on that scale. But you see, he would have never been able to build my house. I would have never been able to build this that you see here without seizing that opportunity. You see what I'm saying? Was there sometimes you didn't know what to do? Well, yes, but that's why God's got people around you. Why you hire to your weaknesses, not to your strengths, but to your weaknesses. Because there's somebody that knows something you don't know if you're willing to listen. See, then you sit down there and figure things out. How many times did I find Richie on the floor? Watch that. He was drawing something on a slab that was meant for the ceiling. So I could see it. He said, now, you see that, Jesse? Yeah. And he would spray it with some stuff so you wouldn't wear out or wear off, whatever. He said, now look, just transfer it to the top. And that's where we're going to put it. Now, yet he had never built the size house that I live in at that time. But we believe in God for him to build bigger houses than what I got. But you see what I'm saying? But he had knowledge before. Now, the wisdom helped them to attain that knowledge and to operate and function in it. Let me say it again. Knowledge helps you to accept your responsibility to the opportunity that God has given you to do. So you understand what the blessing does. It gives you the ability. Favor gives you the opportunity. God gave me the ability, and then God gave me the opportunity. But if I didn't seize it, it wasn't going to happen, no matter what happens in life. Do you see that? Or you understand? See, knowledge is the ingredient to think big. And whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial. When I begin to flow in the Holy Ghost, I'm doing this a little different than I did my staff, so you can understand this. When I begin to flow in the Holy Ghost, I had to have knowledge on how to flow. See, because the devil tried to mess up the gifts of the Spirit in my services. You understand what I'm saying? And you see me walk out and give words of knowledge and things and pray in tongues and interpret. You know, I'm talking about the gifts of the Spirit. But I'll never forget one time I was preaching, glory to God, and the Holy Ghost began to hover in that church. It was at First Assembly of God, Raceland, Louisiana. Brother J. B. Cherry, that was the pastor there. I love that man. He's in heaven today. What a wonderful man he was. Him and Sister Gloria Cherry. And it was a blessing. Now watch this. I was kind of new at this, and yet there wasn't too many men and that were actually moving in the gifts of the Spirit when I first went out in the ministry. They were a little nervous because they was afraid to miss it. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. I refuse to fear. I will not fear. It's not a part of my anatomy. So I never forget, boy, I'm flowing in the Holy Ghost. People get knocked out in the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden, this person jumps up and goes, start giving a message in tongues. All right? So immediately the whole church began to get quiet. I'm teaching you something here. Listen to it. Immediately the church began to get quiet to hear the message in tongues. All of a sudden, another person jumps up and goes, now I got two people speaking in tongues. And if I allow that to happen, confusion comes in.
Are they doing wrong? No, they're not doing wrong. They just don't know, have knowledge how to operate and function when the Holy Ghost is moving. Did God give both of them a message? Yes. But you see, Paul had the same situation where everybody was jumping up saying something, and nobody could understand what's going. So what I did, I one person that happened to be to my right, I went, hold that, stop. And they looked at me and said, hold it. And this guy was still going. He just prayed in tongues. When he finished, I said, now give the rest of that. All over, and it just came out like that. And then I interpreted what the first person said, and then I switched around and interpreted to the second person. My father happened to be there that night. He came back, he said, boy, you was a smart man. I said, what? He said, Jesse, I wouldn't know what to do. I couldn't believe my daddy said that. Now, he'd been saved a lot longer than me. He said, man, I would have said, whoa, somebody missed it. No, there ain't nobody missed it. They just got it out off of the rail track. They got it off the track. You understand? All I did was put it back on the track. Why? Because I knew God wanted something spoke to that church from both those people. So you have to have knowledge on how to function in those lines when God is moving and when God is blessing, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial. Write this down. The way of knowledge that Jesus taught was not just a better way. It was a totally different way. Isn't that a good statement? I love that. Let me write it again. Say it again. The way of knowledge that Jesus taught was not just a better way. It was a totally different way. To truly understand if you're living for God, everything you're going to do is going to be totally different than what somebody else did. That's why I'm always looking for something different to do in the ministry. Because Jesus didn't just give us a better way. He gave us a totally different way. What we did this morning was totally different compared to what anybody. Have you, Pastor, have you ever heard any church ever do that? In your whole pastoral ministry. Not bragging on that. See, I take no credit for that. That's the Holy Ghost doing that. He can do what he want to do. My God, if he wants me to walk on the water or walk on all tanks, I'm going to walk on all tanks. I don't care. He going to do what he said. Now, that may sound nuts and crazy to you, but greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. You follow what I'm saying? Every area of my life. I'm believing God for so many unbelievable things that will knock your socks off. God told me I got a $20 million donor coming. I got a $5 million donor coming. I got a $1 million donor coming. Lord Jesus. Now, I'm not walking up here and saying, oh, you the $20 million donor. Oh, you the $1 million. Oh, gee, oh, you a rich man. Hey, girl, you a rich girl. Hey, did you get an inheritance the other day? Help us. Won't you help us? Come on, help us. No, I ain't saying that stupid stuff. Why? Because God said, I'm spitting all over myself. I can't help it. Glory to God. I'm glad I got this great coat on because you can't see the spit flying. Praise the Lord. When you understand that he just didn't do a better way, he did a totally different way. See, a better way would have a bigger boat on the Sea of Galilee. But Jesus said, I don't need a bigger boat. I'll just walk the water. A totally different way. You understand what I'm saying? A better way, watch that, because it's a good idea. Say, let's bring enough food to feed the 5,000 because we got a good offering last week. So we're going to give a big banquet. But a totally different way is take a 2-piece fish dinner. Pray over it and bless God and say, give back them 2 pieces and 5 loaves. And he says, start walking amongst the crowd. And as you walk amongst the crowd, God begin to create loaves of bread and fish and red fish. Lord Jesus, black and red fish. Come on, man. Black and red fish. Hallelujah. And before you know it, the whole place is full. Yes. Totally different way. That's why Jesus said, don't send them away. See, that would have been a better way to mankind. But see, Jesus did totally different way. Don't send them away. Feed them. Just feed them. My God. The way of knowledge that Jesus taught was not just a better way, it was a totally different way. Write this down. The kind of faith we have in God's knowledge will depend upon the view we take of his person. Let me say it again. The kind of faith we have in God's knowledge will depend upon the view we take of his person. What is your view of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know why I'm blessed and rich? Because of my view of Jesus. Not because of my ability. Because of my view. He said his will be done on earth. Where, brother? As it is in heaven. That's why I live in a nice home. That's why I drive a nice car. It's not to show off. It ain't got anything to do with showing off. No, I don't care. I can live in a trailer today. It don't make no difference to me. I can live. I mean, I'm a Cajun boy. It don't make no difference to me. But you see, my view of the Lord Jesus Christ and my knowledge of his, of what he is, I can live like I want to live in heaven here in Destrehan. Do you realize how many people are going to criticize me for just saying that right now? About 99% of the church. But let me give you a revelation. I don't care what you say. I know that sounds tough and all. I'm not being rude. Are you living in a dream world, man? Come on. When are we going to stand up and believe what Jesus said instead of all this junk that the world's been preaching? When are we going to just say, hey, God said I can have it. And if he said I can have it, hey, hey, I'm going to have it spiritually, physically, and financially. Jesus. Let me say it again. The kind of faith we have in God's knowledge will depend upon the view we take of his person. I have a great view of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, people say, why am I just so happy all the time? It ain't because of my substance. It's because of the King of Kings, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the bright morning star. Now, that's how a white preacher would say it. But I say, if you want me to get black, the King of Kings. And hey, the Rose of Sharon. Hey, come on. Lord, dear. Lord. Oh, myself. Praise the Lord. Lord, Lord, I want you to know. Hey, come on, black people, help me out. You got too white here. Hey, hallelujah, glory to God. There ain't one white person stood up and did this. Thank you, mama. Hey, hallelujah. Some of y'all are Baptists in here, I can tell. What is your view? Because your view of Jesus comes by your knowledge of him. See what I'm saying? I'm intense about what I believe in. Because my belief is a desire. Write this down. I love this. A larger conception of Jesus' life will produce exalted views of your future. Oh, Jesus. Every time you look at Jesus, you're looking at your future. Do you understand? Because be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. When I look at the Lord, I see my future. Not only in this life, but the life to come. Let me say it again. A larger conception of Jesus' life will produce exalted views of your future. Why, Brother Jesse, can you receive these things? Because it produces in me a magnificent confidence. I have magnificent confidence. Glory to God. Woo! Because when I see Jesus, if he can walk on the water, I can walk on the water. My God, if he didn't get sick, I ain't got to get sick. If he's not in debt, I'm not in debt. Bless God. Hey, if he can walk. Hey, you understand? Woo! It's a magnificent confidence. Don't tell me Jesse the planets can't do something. Let me shock you. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm going to get a new Falcon 7. $52 million. I don't care what you say. I got magnificent confidence in the King of Kings, Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, Bright Morning Star. Lord Jesus. Woo! Magnificent confidence. My conception of him. I got to say it again. Whew. A larger conception of Jesus' life will produce exalted views of your future. What happens, man? I see myself. I see myself in him. Now I'm going to shock you. Be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children, right? I'm going to preach a little longer. I'm going to probably write a whole sermon on this. But nobody in the church world doesn't mind imitating God's holiness. I don't care if you're Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, or whatever. You can be Muslim, Islam. You wanna imitate Allah, or you wanna imitate God in his holiness. Jesus said, be ye holy, for I am holy. You don't mind imitating God. Boy, I can hear that black hoop start. You don't mind in imitating God, but I want you to know a lie. That I can hear, but I'm trying to hold myself down here. Glory to God. You don't mind imitating him and his character. You don't mind because you're going to live clean before God and upright. You understand? Because that's imitating his character. Listen to me. That's imitating his character and that's imitating his holiness. Why do you mind imitating his possessions? Why do you mind imitating his possessions? He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would tell you, glory to God. If you got a mansion in heaven, why can't you have a mansion in Laplace, a mansion in Destrehan, a mansion in New Orleans, a mansion in Metairie, a mansion in Kenner, a mansion anywhere in Treme, a mansion everywhere. Why do you struggle with that? When he said, be ye therefore imitators of God. You don't mind imitating him in his holiness. You don't mind imitating him in his character. Why do you mind imitating him in his possessions? Why do you want to criticize me? Because I'm imitating him in his possessions. You don't think God's loaded? Saturn, right now. Do you know right now Saturn, the planet Saturn, it's raining diamonds. The riches of his glory, he flung them with his hands. We found another planet the other day, the size of the planet Earth, that is a solid diamond. How you like to have that rock? Huh? Where do you think he got diamond, beryl, jasper, onyx, ruby? Talks about in the book of Revelation on the foundation of the city. Gold, 24 karat gold. You think he mines prosperity? If you think he does, you better not go to heaven. You ain't going to be happy. Amen. Why do you get concerned about imitating him in his possessions? When you will imitate him in his character. Imitate him in his holiness. I'm going to imitate him in everything he does. Amen. See, that's knowledge. It's the ingredient to think big. See, when we, when we stir our minds, that's what I'm doing this morning. We think clear-edged thoughts. When we stir our minds, we think clear-edged thoughts. A sudden influx of power and resolve comes. A sudden influx of power and resolve comes when you stir your mind with clear-edged thoughts. I'm constantly thinking that way. Do you understand? Not so I can get bigger, better, and all that kind of stuff. It's to imitate him. I want him to say, Gabriel, don't Jesse look like me? I don't care who you are, if you got any kids or grandkids. It kind of makes you feel proud when they say, boy, he looks just like your grandpa, don't he? Amen. Or his grandpa used to do it. Boy, don't act just like your daddy. Yeah. Boy, I tell you, he look like your mama, don't he? Or her, whatever. It's a wonderful thing. It makes you feel proud that you produced a seed that wasn't ugly. Because if they look like you, they ain't ugly. Think about that. Makes you feel proud. We were watching Destrehan High School beat the fire out of Terrebonne High School Friday night. I wasn't too excited because I was a graduate of Terrebonne High School. Since I left, they ain't had much. But you know what was funny was to watch Jessica and Lewis. Lewis was sitting by me. Sabion. Lewis said, now, you're going to see a side of Jessica you ain't never seen before. I said, what are you? He said, just watch, what happened? And Jessica, hey! If somebody calls her, hey! I said, she mean, ain't she? Oh, yeah. He said, man, she'll scream at you. Scream, but they just all screaming. And then Justin's grandma was behind him. Justin's grandpa, all of them. I mean, they were all out there. They were just edging him on, son. Glory to God. Why? Proud. Yes. Proud. Yes. Yes. Proud. See, God is proud of you when you look like him. Yes. He even told that to the devil. Have you observed my servant Job? Are you following me? Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Yes. Let me say it again. When we stir our minds, we think clear-edged thoughts. A sudden influx of power and resolve comes. Pow! It just hits you. What a blessing of God. What an honor. You know what I'm naming that seed for this morning? I want the rest of that property. I want to build you a fellowship hall. I want to build all the children
a children facility. I want to build a youth facility. I want a gymnasium so I can grow to 6'8". Where that man at? Where that man at? Stand up, sir. I got to look at you. You my vision. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. Paid for. Hire somebody here that can do the job and be paid for it. Instead of saying, I tell you what, I don't know, can you help us? No. Now, I didn't preach this part at all. I added this to the sermon. So this is all new now. I'll write this down to my staff and the rest of you. Knowledge enables a person to take the right path and keep on it in all of its various directions. Knowledge enables a person to take the right path and keep on it in all its various directions. You got to be willing to change. I love Yogi Berra. I have a baseball signed by him in a picture. And he's known for his colloquialisms, whatever you say it. He would tell his friend he'd come to his house, if you come to a fork in the road, take it. Because you see, knowledge sometimes goes off the driven path in all its various directions. You're going left, you're going right. All of a sudden you may go straight. You may back up 2 steps and jump forward 5. See, knowledge enables a person to take the right path and to keep on it in all its various directions. Every day I'm walking the path of knowledge. Sometimes it changes and goes left. Sometimes it changes and goes right. That's all right, because I change not. And God is God. He doesn't change. Do you know how long Kathy's been trying to get me to change my hairstyle? In fact, I invited Luis and Pat over to the house the other day when we was enjoying ourselves. And Luis said, she go, you know, I can fix that hair of yours. I wanted to tell her it ain't broke. Look at her. She said, I don't care what he said. But then I found out Pat, her husband, the same way. You know, just leave it the way it is. It's all right. You know, but you know what? I know you can look better. I just don't want to take the chance. Yeah. Now, women take the chance. Ooh, Lord, they'll do stuff. Honey, do you like that? Oh, yeah. Your man done learned something here. Nicole Dave been working for me a long time. I never know what Nicole's going to look like. You just don't know what Nicole Day gonna come up with, son. The next thing I know, I'm gonna have to. She's gonna have an afro this wide. It's coming. She got long hair. She got short. She just never know. You just never know. And Kenny just smiles. He goes. See, that's knowledge. See, you thought I was off the sermon there, didn't you? You thought I was off the sermon. No, that's knowledge. That's called living a long life without bruises. Knowledge enables a person to take the right path, keep on it in all its various directions. Now, write this down. Very important. A small mind will put you into a false relationship to truth. A small mind, no knowledge, will put you into a false relationship to truth. People get mad at me. People that embrace poverty have a small mind. I don't care who they are. I don't care how high in the world they are. They're wrong. That's small thinking. You know why I know that? Because we should be living here like we're living in heaven. There is no poverty in heaven. None. Zero stops. God will not have it because poverty is limitation. And God is unlimited. El Shaddai. God, watch this. Josiah, more than enough. More than enough. More than enough. When a man runs a marathon or someone runs a marathon, they may be tired after the marathon, but I promise you that doesn't stop. That doesn't mean they can't run another one. Because, see, what's in you is always more than enough. You finish the race, but you're not finished for life. There may be another race you're going to run in a month or whatever that you're training for, whatever you're doing. You see, when you understand a small mind, and I know I'm going to get some ugly letters on that, but that's all right. A small mind will put you into false relationship to truth. You can see the truth and don't even recognize it. That's a lack of knowledge. And you can be, I mean what I say, I'm talking brilliant. To such, so brilliant that you can be a theoretical physicist. You know what that is? Princeton, Harvard, Yale. So brilliant and say God doesn't exist. That it just happened. And the bigness of your intellect, it came out of a pea brain. Some of y'all got it over here, glory to God. You see what I'm saying? A pea brain. Brilliant, smart. Intellectually brainwashed. Write this down. Without knowledge, you can't communicate what you feel. Without knowledge, you can't communicate what you feel. If I want Kathy to do something, I have to have knowledge and communicate to her what I want or what I feel. And she'll do the same thing. Like the other day, we were just walking and she says, you know, you might want to keep this in your mind for Christmas. That. She's trying to help me out, see? Like as if that's going to really help me out, you know? But that's true, because there's going to come a time I'm going, I'll call Jody. I don't know if Jody's in here this morning. I'll call Jody and say, did you hear your mama say anything? Keep your ear to the ground, just in case. You know, because you want to get somebody something they like, you know, whatever. See, without knowledge, you cannot communicate what you feel. Yeah. You got to have some knowledge. You got to have some understanding. Do you follow what I'm saying? So you can communicate what you feel. And I'm going to tell you, one of your greatest assets is your speech. It's what you say. But actually, it's actually more how you say it. And then what you say, you better make sure you know what you're doing. You can keep your insurance, period. You can keep your doctor, period. President, you should have said, comma. But see, you put your total trust, because you're not a dumb man. You put your total trust in some people, you should have just read it. Yes, you honor the people that you hire, but you better know what you're talking about, because there's a world out there going to come back and bite you. Because they remember the word period. Which means, don't change. I prefer to use comma. See, I think of death as a comma. And then you start walking again. Hell is a period. Going to hell is a period, buddy. Going to heaven is a period. Because the Bible says, as a tree falls, so shall it lie. Do you think about that for a minute? One of the hardest things in the world is to try to get everybody health insurance. When God gave us the greatest policy of all, it's called divine life. That you wouldn't have to get sick. Oh, that's never happened. Well, it happened for 40 years in the desert of Sinai. There wasn't one feeble one amongst them. Now that's a policy, period. Think about that for a minute. God's no respecter person, right? Yeah. It happened. Shoes grew with the kid's foot. Dress grew with the girl's leg. There were no malls in the desert. Oh, that was on this planet. Here. See, without knowledge, you can't communicate what you feel. Let me say this in close, because getting close to the saints. Now this here, I'm going to just touch this, but you could preach hours on this. Avoid the mixture of an irreverent commonness. Avoid the mixture of an irreverent commonness. Sometimes the sympathy of silence is best. Sometimes it's no use to say something because they're not going to receive it. That's called casting your pearl before swine. Avoid the mixture of an irreverent commonness. You know what that means? Well, bless God, if mama was that way, daddy that way, boy, that's the only way you can be. That's an irreverent commonness. And when you try to come out that hole, what's the matter with you, boy? You trying to be better than us? No. There ain't nobody trying to be better than nobody. What you're trying to do is better yourself. Avoid the mixture of an irreverent commonness. Sometimes the sympathy of silence is best. When I was 5 years old, the house that I am now living in, I saw through a movie called Gone with the Wind. It didn't make no difference where I was, which was in an 8 foot wide, 32 foot trailer. Me and Wayne, my oldest brother, sleeping on the floor. Don't know till today where we got that television, Glenn. Maybe mama borrowed it or something. We were watching Gone with the Wind. And there was two plantations there in the beginning of the movie, which was Tara, where, what's her name? Scarlett O'Hara lived. And Ashley, you know the ugly boy? Ashley was ugly. Why she love Ashley so much? That's an ugly boy. They say women don't see what a man see, I guess. I don't know. That was an ugly boy. Lord Jesus. He's a good actor, but that's an ugly boy. Now, Rhett Butler looked good. Then there was 12 Oaks. And there was a party being held at 12 Oaks. So the girls were all dressed up and they were going down to the party. And Scarlett was looking for Ashley. Ashley. Now, Ashley already had a woman. Yes, he did. I did. Melanie, who was wonderful. Wonderful. And when the doors open up for 12 Oaks, and as they got out the carriage, they said, watch it, the horses have been here. Because the horses deposit all kind of junk in those days. As the doors open up, you remember the movie Into the 12 Oaks, you see this beautiful white staircase. Now, I'm 5 years old, sitting on the floor, kind of looked like Forrest Gump. Oh, maybe you can get a better picture of it, I guess. You got it now? You got it? Yeah. And I saw that staircase. I went, whew. Now, a five-year-old don't think this way. At least I don't think so. Except my granddaughter. She says, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. She was 3 years old when she saw it. I turned around to Mama. And I said, Mama. She looked at me like, yeah. I said, I'm going to build a house like the movies. She said, shut up, boy. You're a kitchen boy. You're sleeping on the floor. This ain't going to happen, boy. At 5 years old, I realized she couldn't handle what I saw. So I used the sympathy of silence. Because, you see, if I would have said something, see, that was irreverent commonness. Boy, you can't do that. When's the last time you seen a staircase in a trailer? Y'all got the revelation? Ain't got no staircase, no trailer. You got a three step or 5 foot step to get up in a trailer. That's about all the stairs you ever gonna see in your life. And that's outside. See, if I would have said anything, it would have been a mixture of irreverent commonness. Because Mama couldn't see that. I remembered it hurt my feelings. But I didn't say nothing. I used the sympathy of silence. But buddy, that imprinted on my mind. Man, years and years later, years and years later, Mr. Richie Pichon, hold your hand up, Richie, who built my home, he said, well, Jesse, we finished. Start moving in. And I did the same thing Scarlett O'Hara, except without the horses. I drove up in that front and I opened them doors. And I got some beautiful doors. Outside and inside of me, they're all, I don't know how you say it, but they're fully molded. Is that right, correct? I don't know how you do it, but whatever. And I opened that up like this. Judy, you should have seen that. I was smaller than you in my mind then. I was back to 5. And I just took the doors and did this. And I walked in. Watch me. I did this. And I kept looking up. Mama, look down. Look down, Mama. Come on, Mama. Look down. Now, I personally believe the Lord said, told you the kid to do it. Because when God told me to build it, he said, I put that idea in your mind. There was nobody in my family could think that big. Not that they weren't smart. They just couldn't think that big. They could think a double wide. That's as high as we could go, double wide. And that stuff is so infectious. I was driving with Kathy not too long ago. We had a car going to Baton Rouge. We passed the trailer park. Not a trailer park, a place where they sell trailers. And Kathy said, ooh, let's stop and go look at one of them double wides. Oh, that was something. That's as high as it could go. And that's the best they could do. That's not, I'm not being critical of that. But when you have someone that God has placed around you to prick your thinking, accept it. Yeah. And everyone that's ever come in that house, when that door open up, they do this. Preachers, prophets. Gloria Copeland goes, ooh, Jess. Poor boy did good, didn't he? Linda and Glenn came in the other day. Linda go. See, she's a real estate agent. She's thinking, well, I can sell this sucker. Glenn didn't know what to say. He goes, I said, it's overwhelming. And he goes, yes. Not bragging. See, that's vision. But it had to come by knowledge. I honestly believe. Now, you can't prove this true and I can't prove it's not. But so I'm going to say it. Kenny, I believe God said, Velma Duplantis, that's my mama. You look down at that. I put that in that boy's mind. Not showing off. They ain't got anything to do with that. Because I'm just as comfortable at your house. I'm serious, I am. You look at one man, son. You ain't got to do anything to satisfy Jesse the Planets. I just, hey, how y'all doing? It was Ricky Bartley made 20 years of working for me in the ministry. Ricky right here. And, you know, and Ricky's my brother-in-law as well, and married to Christine, Kathy's sister. So I told Ricky, I said, Ricky, we're going to take you out to lunch. Anything you want to eat? Now, we know there's a place that Christine don't care for, and neither does Kathy. All right? But, you know, so Ricky would happen to be in the front. He said, I get to sit in the front. Let's see. I said, yeah. The two girls in the back, Lord, Jesus, look at this. I said, Ricky, Golden Corral. He goes, and Christine goes, now, Ricky, you, and Kathy, Rick, Kathy says, Ricky, any way you want to eat, we'll take it any way you want to eat, anywhere. Christine said, yeah, Ricky, any way you want to eat, anything. And I said, yeah, Ricky, where you want to eat? He said, let's eat at the Golden Corral. Christine go. Both the girls. That's how I felt when my mama said, boy, stupid boy. You can't do that, boy. You should have seen how disappointed they were. Well, if you really want to go, but you ain't going to sleep with me no more for the next few years if you go to the Golden Corral. I said, no, that's all right. No, Rick, where you want to go? Well, let's go to Houston. Ah, that. But to help the Golden Corral, I like the Golden Corral. Look at she don't like the Golden Corral. Well, I'm sorry, you. It don't make no difference to me. See, when you've been on the road all your life, you grab what you can. I've eaten many of them little mini stores. Nothing, everything closed, starving. You just learn to do it, you know. But I knew knowledge would tell us that Christine and Kathy are going to be happy, even though we're celebrating you, Ricky. We gotta bless the girls. That's knowledge, brother. That's knowledge. That's knowledge. So, since it's past the appreciation, let me give you some knowledge. Give her the money. That's knowledge. Did you enjoy it this morning?